following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Mother, simply call me sweet where I hello. Mother. Welcome to the Tony Tennis Show here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. You know, gremlins are in the house today. You know, my computer decides it wants to update just before we go on air. But that's okay. I'm Randall Jefferson, the host of the show. Joining us today is Cherie Darden, publisher and owner of Scoop USA. Listeners, if you want to get involved and join the conversation, you can call us at 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also find us on social media. On X, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also find us on Facebook. Just go to the Facebook search engine and type in Tone and Tenor to find us. Well, today our conversation will be constituency versus political power and aspirations. Just recently we had the general elections across these United States, and even before the dust has settled, right here in the city of Philadelphia, we have folks trying to change the charter. Because here in the city of Philadelphia, you cannot run for higher office unless you step down. We saw this happen when individuals and city council wanted to run for mayor, so they had to step down. And it happens if you want to run in this city that you have to step down to run for these offices. On a national level, you don't have to do that. Think about it. J.D. Vance did not have to step down to run for vice president along with now President-elect Donald Trump. Minnesota Governor Tom Walz did not have to step down because he was the governor of Minnesota to be Vice President Harris's running mate for the President of the United States. So why is this important? Why is this important? Well, in my opinion, just before folks left, we had this conversation, and we had a conversation about term limits as well. And the problem is that, in my opinion, if you think that you are the best person for the job, then you should give up that seat so you can run an effective campaign. You know, unlike, let's take, for example, Malcolm Kenyatta here in the city of Philadelphia ran for Auditor General, but also ran for his seat as state rep. He subsequently lost the Auditor General seat, but he maintained his state rep seat. You know, these are, we're in trying times, man. We need people that want to be sincere about serving the people and not serving power. And that's what's happening. They are forgetting who hires them and who can fire them. The backlash that may come from this last election may adversely affect a lot of people. And the people that I'm talking about are the constituency that these folks are serving. or supposed to serve?
So question, because here it is with this, which is the concept of employment and work and jobs,
mm-hmm.
right? People who apply for jobs, I can go out and I can apply for multiple jobs and be looking for a better job, and I don't have to quit my job, because I'm sure that that's the basis of which most of these arguments go upon.
Right.
Is that you should be allowed to seek and improve the quality of your life in different positions and different roles in which you feel are suited for you, without giving up what you have, because that's what is allowed in the regular employment realm.
Right, you're right. In the private world, you're absolutely right, Sheree.
Now, the problem with that is when you go from private to community or public, there's a different basis that comes along with that, because mm-hmm. you are doing jobs that are on a grander scale than what they are when you're dealing with a minimum of people in, say, a business setting or a job where you're touching on for maybe 300, 400, 500 people. But when you're talking about millions and multitudes of people, I think the basis is a little bit different, because your ability to perform in that particular role constitutes and it affects a whole lot more people.
Mm-hmm.
And we see when people are trying to run an election, you know, they have many things in place where in your current role, the people who are working for you in your office can't work for you on your election. There are all these rules in place that kind of tailor and are based on the way that the election is run. But how is it that you can have an election and you can't have people in your office talk for you, but you can run for two different elections? I don't understand any of it. And most average people don't understand it.
And that's the problem, you know. Most people, and I agree with you, in the private sector, Sheree, I totally agree. Most people, when they are applying for different jobs, and let's just say, for argument's sake, you're an admin. Most people that are admin in the private sector are, their concentration is, I need to make more money so that I can survive and feed my household. It's not the power. Because let's think about this. The highest paid person, allegedly, in these United States is the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. About $400,000 a year. But what goes along with that $400,000 is the power over people's lives. And President-elect, let's think about it. Donald Trump doesn't need $400,000.
No, not at all.
Not at all. A lot of these folks that are in these offices, that on a federal level, some of them are already multimillionaires. So they cannot relate to the average working person in the private sector or nonprofit sector that are...
I think that point that you just made goes beyond whether or not they should be able to serve terms or whatever, because they can't relate to the people that they're supposed to represent.
We have an anomaly
from the beginning.
Not even that. Let's think about this. You can't go buy a job. You're not going to have, let's say Tyler, our engineer, is a multimillionaire. He can't donate millions of dollars to your campaign so that you can get that job.
I'm sorry,
in the private sector, so you can get that job. You know, you can't buy, you know, estimated of almost $16 billion. I did not say million. Billion dollars was spent across this country to have people elected. Right here in the state of Pennsylvania, House Democrats spent $18 million. $18 million. And they're all shucking and jiving, doing the Texas two-step from the speaker on down, that they maintain that one seat advantage.
Where did they spend money at?
You tell me. I want to know who pocketed it.
I don't know. Yeah, because I want to know where that happened.
Listen to this. The campaign arms behind both parties here in the state of Pennsylvania, the House and the Senate races, spent more than $35 million to influence the outcome of last week's election. This is just in the state of Pennsylvania. But yet and still, y'all crazy behind people can't find money and to help people live comfortably like you're living comfortably. Because one, regardless of what you say, you get a stipend for your travel expenses. You know, and on a federal level, if you look at Vice President Harris and you look at President-elect Trump and all of those folks, they have cars. They don't get out and put gas in their cars. They do not go into the grocery store and buy food. They get a menu, and the people that work for them do that. So the people they have, these folks that are elected have the power. It's not about the money, it's the power. And folks, this one lady, I remember this clearly. As she went into the polls, and she was in the process of voting, she says, and you could hear her throughout the polling place, why am I voting? Why am I voting? Because these people you don't see on a daily basis, you don't hear from on a daily basis, and you go to their offices and you can't get nothing done. Just like I said on the 600 block of South 52nd Street, Councilwoman Jamie Gauthier has a satellite office. Big notes in the window say, sorry, our office is presently closed. This is in what we call the changing hood. But yet and still, and I'm using Philadelphia as an example, yet and still, we could jump up and down and want to make an arena in downtown Philadelphia a legacy. You know, we want to keep a multi-millionaire bunch of players here in the city of Philadelphia. Now, I have not heard anybody say this yet about loyalty. The owner of the Sixers, how loyal is he to the city of Philadelphia? He also is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, and he also has a stake in the Washington Commanders. So the three cities of power, this man has his hand in them. But yet and still, as we talk about the constituency that the mayor and Councilman Squilla and everybody is jumping up and down to put this arena in Philadelphia, and they're saying that, oh, there's going to be some money for the children, for the school district. Heck, we heard this show, Dog and Pony Show, before. We heard it with the cigarette tax. We heard it with the liquor by the drink tax. We heard it with the beverage tax. Show me where the city of Philadelphia, school district of Philadelphia, benefited from all of those so-called taxes that we have to endure. The constituency
has to endure. Yeah, because the taxes don't go away, right?
They were supposed to. Whoa.
They're still here.
They were supposed to roll them back. I remember Michael Nutt. Oh, they were going to roll them back. Well, see, that's the key question. The key question was when.
nobody ever
put a date on when these things were supposed to be rolled back. No one. So you know, you're laughing, but these are facts, you know.
Because the unfortunate reality is, if you don't chuckle a little bit at some of this stuff, you'll cry. Because not being exposed to any of this for most of my life, and then coming into these rooms with you, and with other people and having conversations about the political impact on my life as well as other people's lives is somewhat disheartening. It's really not something.
It's the priority.
No, it's just period. You know, and the mere fact that people such as myself up until recently, in recent years, don't even care or are not aware of what's going on because these conversations aren't held in our houses because we live every day and these aren't the things that are of concern to us because we're trying to live. But the people who they should be of concern to, which are the people who are trying to make sure that we, they don't care either.
They don't even say recently. They don't care at all.
No, I'm saying recently for me.
They care about the folks that fund their campaigns.
Because they don't look at it as a lifetime commitment. They look at it as a job. It's a job to them. You know what I mean? Imagine somebody who's running for two different offices. Do you really think that they look at it as... as they're running for two different offices and they're not letting go as one?
It's not a job. They're looking at the power that comes from the position, with the position.
But it's a job because they don't want to lose a job. Because if they lose both elections, they lose a job. If they quit one and then they lose the other, then they are jobless.
Well, you can't lose one. You can't lose both. Let's break this down, really.
If you follow protocol and you quit one, which would be the right thing to do, is to provide a succession plan or put somebody in place to do the job that you're giving up, and then move on and apply for the other job. If you do that, then ultimately you're saying that I'm going to be jobless if I don't win.
Well, let's take it a little bit further. Mm-hmm. Former, now council president, Kenyatta Johnson.
Yes.
When he was a state rep,
yes,
he would go up and down the highway to Harrisburg. Then all of a sudden he decided, I'm going to run for city council. Granted, I did say this earlier, it's not about the money. But when you think about it, in city council here in Philadelphia, you get paid more than a state rep. You don't have to travel up and down the highway,
mm-hmm.
It's what is benefiting you and not your constituency, maybe I'm saying this wrong because it's not all the constituencies. It's those folks that have been in their pockets or have been funding their campaigns or have been doing this for years. If you look at these same folks, you see the same folks in the polling places. You'll see the same folks that, that's not the way we do it. This is how we do it. And then they start to balk when you make change. See, folks don't like change.
I'm going green.
On the leadership side, they don't like to change. They don't like to be challenged. They don't like to, because think about it. Right now, you have President-elect Donald Trump. If that was you or me, with 31 charges, we'd be in jail.
We'd have been in jail when the 31 charges got dropped.
If you had the same, how the heck can someone be the highest ranking officer, meaning Attorney General, gets with all of those charges hanging over his head? There's people that talk about, these young people, and there's shows that talk about traffic, and they talk about young people being used, young girls being used. But now, it's okay.
It's minimized. It's minimized. Because this is the eye opener that people need to get right now. This is the eye opener. What's good for one is not good for the other. Yes, they are. They are wide open because I've been smacked around all day. I've been getting it, boy. But when you seriously think about it, seriously, the context of the job,
mm-hmm.
and the power that comes with the job. Yes, you are correct in one instance.
Mm-hmm.
The power is there, but it's the job. It mm-hmm. is the attractiveness of the job. It's not the power that's welded with the job is one mm-hmm. thing, but just the power of having the job right. is another.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So you have to think about the different roles of power. So for every individual thing, there are different people, different roles, different
hold that
views.
Thought. We're going to take this quick break because you're getting me to go off. And I'm going to go right
I'm
off
I'm having a day.
You're listening to Tony Tanner here on WWBB Talk 860 AM and 97.5 HD2.
Cause I understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan's the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Tony Tanner here on WWDV Talk 860 AM and WPN 97.5 HD2. I'm Randall Jefferson, and joining me today is
Sheree Darton, the owner and publisher of Scoop USA Media.
Our Hello. Topic today is constituency versus political power and aspirations. We see a lot of that going on. We see a lot of it going on. And, you know, it wasn't until early this morning, I really decided that what was going on around this country, what was going on in this city, what was going on in this state, you know, what does constituency mean? What does it mean to go to the polls to vote? What does it mean that, you know, we have folks that are suffering from anxiety because one person lost and another one won? What does this mean? You know.
So yeah. I'm going to stop you there, and I'm going to answer your question on anxiety, all right? Because I've been talking a lot about this to people, and as a black woman, mm-hmm. right, in 3 seconds, I'll tell you. When I was 18, I walked into my first job in an office, and my boss said to me, you cannot answer my phone like that. You have to project your voice differently. Mm-hmm. You cannot sound the way that you look. Next job, I worked 3 times harder, 3 times smarter. Degrees, information, got denied. Multiple jobs to other people who were not qualified, who did not look like me, and who met the qualifications of the people who were looking for the job, mm-hmm. not the people who actually wanted to do the work mm-hmm. or needed the work done. So when you start to understand the varying differences from the perspective of a black woman, and I've said this to many people, I said when Madam Vice President announced that she was going to be in this role and applying for this position. And mm-hmm. this started. My heart said as a black woman that I hope and I pray because her making it through this would be something that said to me after being slammed doors in my face so many times that you matter. So this entire process meant so much more to the average black woman than it did any other people mm-hmm. because we've been shunned and looked at in so many ways, no matter how smart we are, no matter how hard we work, seriously.
Now,
but
Sheree.
The reality is we hoped and we prayed, mm-hmm. but many of us knew in our stomach, what the possible reality could be. We hoped, we projected, we put positive energy out there. I actually wrote that article, Make It Make Sense, because I was not allowed to actually fight and help her by being financially supported as many others were. And it just to me, never added up. Outside of the fact that I knew who I was and I knew what I went through, mm-hmm. and I know the things, the challenges that I have as a black woman still to this day.
You know, not only as a black woman, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say this, and you just trigger something. You know, black males, and I'm not trying to take away from what you're saying, but a black male in certain jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, I encountered it in the financial world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, and I have the book still, all the jobs that I applied for to move on up the ladder mm-hmm. at BNY Mellon, I was denied.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because one time, this young lady, no degrees, no nothing, and she was a white young lady.
Mm-hmm.
She got the job I applied for. And I'm like, wait a minute, how did this happen? But you know, my dad would always say, a fish would never get caught if he didn't open his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a manager in the area next to where she was, I overheard a conversation, and that put my antennas up. This young lady was not qualified at all to do the job in wealth management, the same position I applied for. So what I did, you know, and you know, it's interesting because we don't even sometimes as black folks help one another. At that time, and I will give credit to the first HR person, the two that helped me when I left U.S. Healthcare, Michelle Benson, and I forgot the gentleman's name, to move. But when we got the new HR person, I went to her and I said, wait a minute, how did this happen? Well, she couldn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the hiring vice president. Well, everybody started tap dancing.
How dare you ask?
How dare I question? It got to the point where the offer for this young lady was withdrawn.
Okay.
Because I would not
bow down.
And you know, I think that's one of the problems, among other things, that we have to face. You know, I remember my great aunt used to always tell us, you can have what they have, but you've got to run faster.
Three times.
Right. And you have to do more.
Three times.
That's right. But in the end, is that really true? You know, because if you're not in bed with the powers, then you can't move ahead, or you're ostracized, or you're not, you know, you're throwing crumbs when you should be getting a bigger piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you want to do what's right. You know, and we live in it, and we live, you know, I'm going to say it. Whether y'all want to believe it or not, Philadelphia is one of the most racist towns in this country.
It is.
And it can be proven. I can prove it. You know, when you look at it, when you look at who is actually behind the scenes funding these races for these people, you will be, that's why we keep getting pushed. And we, unlike other ethnic groups, we don't come together. We don't come together because it's the old mentality of divide and conquer.
Yes, that's what I was getting ready to say. So if you have multiple people in certain situations and everybody has something else that's important on their agenda and everybody is fighting to get their point across, there is no consistency. There is no collaboration. People do not come together because I have my own problems. I have my own stuff. I'm trying to take care of myself. Who cares about what's going on in your room and your problems? The unfortunate reality is that the root cause of most of these problems all go back to one thing. And because we're so caught up running around trying to figure out the most basic thing, you're not
still
understanding.
Trying to find 40 acres and a mule in reparations.
I don't want 40 acres and a mule. I just want to be able to wake up and pay my bills and be comfortable and not have to worry about helping other people with no money in my pocket.
You know,
the 40 acres and a mule, seriously, I actually, and I'm one of those black people, I understand. My grandparents got their 40 acres because we owned lots of land in Virginia prior to my grandmother coming up here. And my grandfather was a slave and my great-great-great-grandmother was an Indian. So I think that we may have gotten our land. But to say that I need something now, I need to be able to sustain and make my own life now.
See, these are the smoke screens, just like
those are the things that are put in place.
Put in place. I mean, and they put a council person or somebody. And what the heck is a reparations committee?
Those are
people. How do you figure that out?
There are still some people who believe that people need to be given an opportunity to sustain and have that jump.
But how do you put a committee in place and then you're throwing people out of their homes or assisting them to have them thrown out of home, and the same developers now are saying, oh, well.
See, I think, so reparations. So right. In California, where you have a valid lots of property that it's obvious and it's shown that this property was taken from this family. Mm-hmm. Their generational wealth was taken from them. And the reparations that were put in place to give them what they lost back. That to me is rightful. I don't understand how you can actually go back and look into my history and say that I missed the void. I think that it becomes a bigger monopoly. It's so big. It's hard to unpack. If you don't have any direct correlation or something to say, in Philadelphia, this is what was lost. If you were in Philadelphia in this year or your family was here, you're entitled to something because this was taken from you.
Right.
I don't know if that exists here. I'm not a historian. I'm not. As I will say time and time again, I'm a little girl from projects that end up working three jobs, three times harder.
Well, think about it. The area of downtown, at one time, downtown was the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then folks traveled along the Schuylkill to their summer homes.
Okay.
In what's now known as, the Schuylkill area. And they, you know, those big mansions in Germantown and all that. They were the rich folks from downtown.
They were
summer
their
homes.
Okay.
They would go, so when you think
about
it.
How many black people own those? I'm just asking.
None that I know of.
So where does reparations come in?
None that I know
we
of.
We were the maids and people who worked in those
That's
homes.
Right.
And where did we live? In the back rooms that
That's
they
right.
had? Okay. I play devil's advocate all of the time
You think about, you know, we're not that old. Our aunts or our grandmothers, and some of them did maids work.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it on the main line, Ardmore, Narberth, all of that area. They did the maids work.
Mm-hmm. My husband speaks all of the time of riding the train out to Ardmore with his grandmother
who was my aunts. You know?
Yes.
So when we look at this, you know, how far have we really come as a people? Yes, we have folks that are in place, but do they really have the power, or are they being dictated to that if you don't do this, you're not going to get this and you will be out of your job? Just like what's happening now in the Democratic Party in the city of Philadelphia, the split that's coming about because some young folks are now upset over Chairman Brady, and rightfully so. I kind of agree with him. He's too old. You know, things that were
done. They pulled the Biden on Brady?
Huh?
They pulled the Biden on Brady?
Yeah. I mean, but he says he's not going nowhere. He's the same guy that said, if you don't like what I'm doing, fire me by voting me out.
How many people have voted to put him out?
Well, you think about it. We have a broke ward system in the state of Pennsylvania. So who votes for the chairman? The ward people. Look at how many council people, how many state senators, how many state reps are ward leaders. And then under them, to become a ward leader, the committee people vote for the ward leader. So you're going to get your friends to give them committee people jobs. So then they get elected or selected, however you want to look at it. Then they then they vote for your ward leader. So elected officials should not have, when I say power, they are now having dual power. We're going to take our next break. You're listening to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. Constituency versus political power and aspiration. 89 the number, another summer. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got soul. Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Our freedom of speech. It's freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. 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 We got to fight the powers that be. As the rhythm's designed to bounce with health and mental rhyme. Designed to fill your mind now that you realize the prize arrives. We got to pump the stuff to make it tough. From the heart, it's a start of work of art to revolutionize, make a change, something strange. People, people, we all the same. No, we're not the same, cause we don't know the game. What we need is awareness. We can't get careless. You say, what is this? All the love it. Let's get down to business. Mental self-defense of fitness. The rest is show. You got to know what you know. To make everybody see. In order to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Welcome back to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and 97.5 HD2. Our top today is constituency versus political power and aspiration. You know, Public Enemy said it. And it's amazing. You know, these songs like 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, still have meaning today. We're still fighting the powers that be. You know, and we haven't learned the game so that we can fight in the game. I mean, as a whole, some of us have come together and fought this game and think they've won. But in reality, the minority is in control, but the majority is suffering. And I want to go back to something about here in Philadelphia, you know, council to take up, resign to run, rule again. And back what we started talking about. It's the fourth time in the last 20 years that Philadelphia officials have tried to repeal the longstanding resign to run rule, which is codified in the city's home rule charter and requires approval from voters to overturn. Philadelphia voters have twice rejected repealing it, once in 2007 and again in 2014. And a 2020 bill to end the rule stalled in council. Now listen to this now. City council member Isaiah Thomas, a Democrat who represents the city at large, authored the legislation and in a statement tied it to the results of last week's election, saying voters think government at all levels need to do better. Ending resign to run will allow more local Philadelphians, public servants, and elected officials alike to strive for change at all levels of government. The resign to change rule has been in place since 1951. Thomas has aspirations to move up to a higher position in government.
He does not want to lose his job.
There you go.
Yeah. So, like I said, when I was en route, people, seriously, I don't care what position you have. It's a job. Like, it pays your bills. It provides food, everything else for your family. It's your way of providing for yourself and your loved ones. It is a job. Seriously, it can be power. It can be this. They don't want to lose. Do you know how many people lost their jobs when this last mayoral election in Philadelphia? Do you see how many people?
But do you see how many people got jobs?
But do you see?
That played the game.
But do you see how many people lost their jobs? So much so during the entire process. Remember, we were in here saying, this is crazy. You mean the whole city council was gone?
17 members resigned to run for mayor.
Remember, that was the conversation. You mean to tell me that?
But this is Councilman Thomas's argument that if that way they don't have to resign. But here's the question.
But does that mean
But that's a preliminary. But here's the million-dollar question.
If they don't resign, then that means that we have people for lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. And the million-dollar question to Councilman Thomas.
Or if this is put in place, will they institute terms?
Come on
no,
now.
No. If you put something like this in
come
place,
on now.
Then you need to institute terms. It needs to be...
How many times did you get slapped today?
It needs to be... No, seriously.
I'm being serious.
If you put something in there that says that they don't have to quit, then you don't have to quit because you only got a 5-year term to begin with.
They're not going to do that. Why not? Because they want to be there for life. Look at the U.S. Senate.
Uh-huh.
You got folks in there that don't know... Whether it's a cushy job.
You go and you move papers from one side of the desk to the other and you still get paid.
You got somebody looking over at somebody making about $30,000, $40,000 saying, no, just go vote no on this.
You have tons of people and who review and do your work. Exactly.
And they haven't read anything.
Exactly. But I stand up and I look good in that role.
But here's the question. No, some are still in wheelchairs. Some are being pushed in wheelchairs. And they're bent over the wheelchair. Barely can move their finger to push the button to say yay or nay.
Those are the people's choice.
But here's the caveat to this.
There is no caveat.
Yes, it is. There's a caveat to this. So listen, understanding what Councilman at Large Thomas has said, he says this will open people that are public servants. Elected officials that want to move to different levels of government. But wait a minute. We've got a problem.
Why? What's the problem?
Because if the powers that be don't want you running, Cherie,
yeah,
they're going to go and get you kicked off the ballot. Or they're going to go and they're going to offer you a cushy job that goes somewhere. And if you're young... They're going to tell you, you got to wait your turn. You got to wait your turn. So now you have someone, and I know he's your friend, and I like him. You have someone like Sharif Street, who technically never won an election. He was given the position once Shirley Kitchens resigned. And then... When someone wanted to run against him, the person was pulled into the room by the powers that be, and a deal was struck. Unlike granted, it happens everywhere. We know that. But in the process, we have broken governments throughout this country on both federal, local, and national level, and state levels. It used to be a time when the Democrats and the Republicans would go into, especially with the Senate, they would go into a room they called the ante room.
Okay.
And they would go in there and their differences, whether it was a bill about whatever, they would go in there, fight, argue, tussle, but they came out
with a
solution. Mm-hmm. See, we have divided Congresses, we got divided state houses, we got divided councils, you know, because of the money. I said almost $16 billion was spent in these elections, and $35 million was spent right here in Pennsylvania.
I ain't getting none of it.
Come on now.
Listen, so I'm going to ask you this question because you've been around a little bit longer than me.
So I'm only 21.
You've been around a little bit longer. In these rooms, in the electoral process, in just elections period, has it always been this contentious? Has it always been this way?
Well,
Seriously, you've been through. See, I've been around. I voted, but I haven't been in these rooms. Has it always been as bad?
People were given real choices
before.
They were given real choices. But there's always been the backroom deals. I'll tell you. I remember my first taste of running for an office was I was going to run for committee person against a former. He's dead now. He worked for SEPTA, and the other guy was had a photo studio on 52nd Street. And the ward leader's name was Isidore Schreger. He was with Freshie. And he did not live in the district, white guy. Mm-hmm. He had a right at the corner of 53rd and Arch, that big house on the corner. He had a telephone set up there. So when you called there, somebody answered the phone and would tell you he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I decided to run, it took two people and Isidore Schreger, who we never saw in our district,
mm-hmm.
came out there on 52nd Street, told the two guys to step down so they could beat me.
Mm-hmm.
One beat me by one vote. But they had to step down. So, isn't this something?
So you're what ultimately you're saying to me that it's pretty much been the same. It's just that there's so much more
communication, and everything is
out in the open now, as opposed to the way it used to be. Because right. I guess with media being limited at that time, it wasn't as much information
right.
out there.
Right, and you've really had real.
So in order to get information,
you had real GOTV.
Okay, you had to be.
And that's how Wilson Good won. He won as the first black mayor of this city by doing real GOTV.
Yeah, he was
by
out.
Going out there.
Do you know my first? You know my first political intervention was when I was 17 and I worked in the Philadelphia Council and I was in the room with Rendell and Good. And 75 community leaders who actually had an interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
This was what I seen from the process at my first time voting. I wasn't even 18 yet. But all of the community leaders came together under one roof
yep.
and had an interview with them. And they decided who they were backing
mm-hmm.
based off of that meeting. I'd never seen anything like that in my life.
And that's what the parties do. But see, with Wilson Good, I will always say that he was the best manager director the city of Philadelphia ever had. But at the end of the day, we're talking about money. We're talking about money. Money he had to do, just like on Walnut Street,
mm-hmm.
Downtown, because you park your car, the valet parking. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a result of what happened with Wilson Good and the Parkway Corporation. A lot of what happened to Chestnut Street. It was because it wasn't the Barack Obama type money, the $10, the $20, the $30. It was the corporation money. It's the PAC money. It's all of this money so that they can control the special interest groups. And this is what's still happening. This is why we have what we have. And this is why even here in Philadelphia, an arena is trying to be forced down the throats of this city of Philadelphia. Most black folks can't afford to take their family, will not be able to afford to take their family to a basketball game downtown. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if the tickets were, think about it, even if when they're giving away tickets at $19, $19.38, that's $76, plus you got the high food, you got to spend almost $200 for a family of four if you got the nosebleed cheap tickets.
And I actually don't understand that because you have people who are going to these games, but they stand in line for food. I mean.
Priorities. You're not going to change a person's mindset unless the people that's making and have the power begin to say, look, these are our employers. These are the people that employ us. These are the people that can fire us. But the only way that can happen is that the constituency becomes more and more educated That's why the reality of it is why they took civics out of schools. Because they didn't want no smart people.
And it's never coming back.
And it's not coming back. You start seeing it. You just start seeing it back in the schools.
And it's getting ready to be removed again.
And it's in the college levels or in the prep schools.
It's getting ready to be removed again.
Yeah. So, yes. You know, we're up against the clock. We got to get out of here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having this discussion. Thank you, Tyler, our engineer for the day. We want to thank everyone for listening. On X, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor to find our page. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, my Parts of Voices of People talk radio show here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5. Walk with me, I'll walk with you.
I'll be there for you when we're running out of hope, when we don't know what